Are we ready to go?
We're ready.
Back, everyone, to another episode.
Welcome back
to another episode of Morning Coffee with PB.
You got your coffee?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. This episode, I'm actually really excited about because I have so many questions that I want to pick your brain about. But the reason why this came up recently was because, you know, you just spoke on the Den of Loyalty on Sunday.
Yes.
And, you know, you're talking about loyalty and like sticking it through. Mm. But I guess my question is like, where is that line? Like when you come to a point where you're like, I think it's time for this thing to end.
Mm.
So yeah, I guess I wanted to ask you that question. So like, how do you know when to prayerfully…
We're just jumping right into it.
We're just jumping…
Okay. So how do you know? I think… So let me see if I'm hearing you clear. You're asking like… Because the message had to do with like… Christians should be loyal to God.
Mm-hmm.
And they should just be known for their loyalty, period.
Yeah, faithfulness. Right?
Their faithfulness. Like mm-hmm. I think I talked about how companies should… feel safe with you,
mm-hmm.
right? And I do want to clarify because I think in the corporate world, Heidi, people leave all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of a given
mm-hmm.
that if you have been working there sometimes like for years, you know,
yeah.
there's headhunters, right? There's mm-hmm. people out there looking for other people that are experienced. So you move
and
on.
And it's natural, yeah.
It's natural,
it's kind of rare these days to like… stick
it
out, you
know. So I don't want anyone to feel guilty for moving on, mm-hmm. you know, to new places. So but I guess my big point that day was about being an opportunist.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you know that. You know that you feel that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know when you're being an opportunist. You know when you're chasing money
mm-hmm.
over meaning.
Well, you know? What if you're not like completely self-aware? Like what if because I guess like, how would you kind of process through that? Like, what are some questions you would ask? Like, is this an opportunistic, you know, thing? Because
mm-hmm.
I think maybe in hindsight, you're able to see like, oh, actually, that was probably not super faithful for me to leave this mm-hmm. company or this community or…
Yeah, I think one of the big questions you have to ask yourself is why?
Mm.
First of all, why am I even here?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I at this job, this current job, mm-hmm. or this current relationship? And then you have to ask yourself, what is making me even think about leaving?
Mm.
Right? And then you have to think about your life patterns. Like the first thing you have to do is you have to have a habit of doing examines.
Mm.
I think one of the biggest issues, Heidi, is that we live in a culture, even with Christians, who don't stop to reflect.
Hmm.
We don't pray enough. We don't invite God at the end of the day and say, how was my day?
Hmm.
Right? Like the great Ignatian, you know, monks to the Jesuits to a lot of the, you know, a lot of the praying traditions, right? They invite us to do examining mm-hmm. our lives, our words, our attitudes, our posture. And so a lot of it actually can be taken care of way before it needs to be taken care of.
Yeah.
Right? So like say you have a habit of having these examines at night. Okay, so each work week, maybe every Friday, you take some time and you pray and you're, Lord, this is what gave me life this week about my job.
Mm-hmm.
This is when I felt furthest from you and furthest from who I am, right? And these are the things that triggered me, that angered me. These are the things that blessed me. And you'll start seeing as you journal, you'll start seeing a pattern.
Mm.
And you'll start seeing like, gosh, every time this thing happens, my first inclination is wanting to leave, right? And then that's how you discern. You go, wait, is it right for me to leave?
Wow.
Right. So, for instance, like every time my boss doesn't acknowledge my input, right, I get so jaded and I want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a more personal thing? You know what I mean? Is that something that you need to grow up in
mm-hmm.
and not be so reliant on people's acknowledgement of you or whatnot, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it something that you're looking at and going, wow, this work environment is truly not something that's gonna, you know, bless me or allow me to bless others.
Yeah.
Right? And so you start making a discerning moments, like the discerning choices. Mm-hmm. But without the baseline of that, the time of reflection, you can't. You just can't. Mm-hmm. And then there's something that I noticed Christians don't do either, is that scripture says there's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? Not in the multitude of complaints. Mm-hmm. What we usually do is we look for people we can commiserate with.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of get counsel from. And so what I would say is, if you're beginning to feel a move, mm-hmm. like I want to move, I want to change, I want a change of scene, I want a change of relationship, you should get wise, godly counsel. Mm. So you seek God yourself, right, for self-reflection and more self-awareness. God, what are you doing in me? Is this something I should endure, right, and grow from? Or, you know, do I need to move on? And then you look to people around you that are godly, that are praying people, that are not just going to sit there, Heidi, and be like, your boss is so stupid. You should get out. Like, they're trying to, you know, empathize and trying to feel you.
Yeah.
You need people with counsel. Like, why do you think you feel that way? Mm-hmm. From my perspective, what your boss said doesn't sound too harsh.
Yeah.
I would have asked the same thing. I've had young pastors come to me and complain about their senior pastors as if I'm going to join in on them. And I say to them, as a senior pastor, I would have said exactly what he said. Mm. I just want you to know that. Actually, I would have done something probably worse, right? And they get shocked. And so what you're doing is you're giving perspective.
Yeah.
And that's what we need, perspective.
Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really interesting thing, concept, like loyalty, because we live in a culture where like we're all kind of out to get our own kind of. And so loyalty almost seems like it's like trapping, like…
Yeah, like it could be detrimental to you.
Yeah. And so I think that's why I wanted to like hash this out with you, because I think what you were saying about being prayerful, about you know, asking yourself questions of why, is so important, because it helps to cut through the fat of like, am I doing this because of my emotions and like because I'm hurt? Or am I doing this because maybe God is opening another door? Mm. And sometimes I think we can over-spiritualize things, like, man, I feel like God is calling me somewhere else, you know? Yeah. But I like that you started with like, actually it starts with examine. Like, where do you feel like you want to be and why you want to be there and why you want to leave?
Because most, you know, my wife has this favorite saying. She says, wherever you go, there you are, right? And so you find that, like, at least in my world, I have people leaving and also arriving all the time. Mm-hmm. People that come to our church, a lot of them, if not most of them, are from churches, right? They've either left church a long time ago and are looking for a new church, or they've left recently, right? And then they find out really quickly that we have the same problems or the same frustrations, right? Yeah. And then they start having this like, you know, moment of like, oh my gosh, churches are all the same. Mm. Well, maybe, and then maybe you're the same. Right? And so we have this, what I would say, a low threshold, a low toleration for anything that's inconvenient or, you know, not pleasurable.
Yeah.
And so the minute we don't like something, we, you know, Americans, we feel like we have choices. So we just go and move on.
Yeah.
But if you think about even like the New Testament era, like, you know, in the early church, there was no sense of like, I don't like this church and pastor. I'm going to go and find another church. I like their brand. I like their music. Like, these were all like home groups and house churches and stuff.
Yeah.
Churches in the early church were built on commitment. Right? It wasn't just built on causes or a sense of like communal like mission, like, oh, we're in it together because we're all in this. No, it was Christ and commitment.
Yeah.
They gather because of Jesus Christ, their commitment to Him, Mm-hmm. And then their commitment to each other. That's what sustained the church in the beginning.
Yeah.
And because there was no like, let's hop in the car and go 30 minutes outside the city and find that cool church that is that has the new hip worship band. And you know, like there was no such thing as shopping for a community.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so if you think about how societies were built in a healthy way, even tribes and even nations, even religious institutions, they were built by people who were committed and who stuck it through and passed the threshold of pain.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you said the word commitment, like it, for a second, it kind of felt like a foreign language. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to find people who are like really committed. And so actually we started this, you know, this podcast because we wanted to talk about like how to end well.
Yeah.
And I think I do want to go into that. Like, you know, here at Echo, our culture is like kind of slow, like to get involved, to become a member. It's a really long process. And that's because we value the idea of covenant. And I think people outside of Echo, it's kind of a confusing thing. I've heard people consider us like cultish. Like
because we take so long.
We take so long and we have a high value of commitment and covenant.
I know it's cultish to expect members to serve.
Yeah.
It's cultish to expect members to care.
Yeah.
And give.
Uh-huh.
Give their time, right? Give their tithes.
Yeah.
Give their talents, right?
Yeah.
So in that case, if it is, I guess it is. But the problem is we have such a low, what do you call it, barrier for entry, right? But that's part of the reason why the churches in America are so weak.
Mm.
It's because you just go in and out.
That's true.
And you feel like you're a person of no consequence.
Yeah.
Right? But we've also tailored the church where people feel more like an audience than a participant.
Hmm.
So when that's they leave, they just feel like no one's going to notice.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that's been detrimental to the church in general.
Mm-hmm.
People leaving and not feeling the weight of leaving.
Yeah, they don't realize that like their presence is valued.
It's valued, yeah.
Their personhood is valued. I was thinking of the term Irish goodbye. It is when you leave social circumstances or gatherings or groups without saying anything.
Oh, really?
You just ghost. I guess it's like ghosting.
You just disappear.
Yeah, you just.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've had
so many Irish goodbyes then. But people that leave church are experts at Irish goodbyes. Yeah.
And so I would love to know your thoughts on like, how do you end well? Like, how do you break up well? I know goodbyes are painful and I think that's why Irish goodbyes exist or ghosting exists.
Mm.
Because people don't want to, like, you have to own what is yours and you have to like confront like the pain and the awkwardness that comes with communicating a goodbye. And so, I would love your thoughts on how do you end well? And it could go from like relationships.
Yes.
How do you end a journey with a community?
I think this is so good. I feel like, this should be talked about more often. You know, it reminds me of a quote from a philosopher who said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something like, we spend so much time investing in the celebration of a relationship that's starting. But we spend really no time or effort in cultivating the relationship itself.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about weddings.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying how much money, intention, and design goes into making sure that one day happens well.
Yeah.
But then he talks about how we're ill-prepared for the long journey of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What I would add to that is things end, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just be real. Relationships end. Church memberships end, right? It just happens, right? Your job at that company you used to love ends, right? Mm-hmm. So there's lots of endings in life.
Yeah.
Okay? I would like to add to that idea that philosopher said and say we're also ill-prepared for good goodbyes.
Yeah.
Right? And so what happens is we burn bridges.
Yeah.
Right, we make a mess of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, all in the name of wanting to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have great and good intentions, but because we're not prepared, right?
Yeah,
we make a mess.
And I think a lot of us, you know, like seek closure after the fact. And maybe this is sort of like a, like an elusive thing. Like maybe there is no such thing as a good goodbye because it's just painful. Mm. In a perfect world, how would you design so a good goodbye?
I think the first thing we have to say is you are not responsible for how the person receives your goodbye. So that's one thing I want to lift off of people.
Yeah.
Like there might be people right now listening going like, I need a breakup with my boyfriend, but
play this episode.
Yeah, exactly. Are you saying that I have to do it in a way that he likes it?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not saying, we're not suggesting that people will like the way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good goodbye, number one, entails, is it respectful?
Yeah.
Is it dignified? Does it honor the dignity of the other, the entity, the organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or the people that it's, that it represents, mm-hmm. or the boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever. Is there dignity in it,
mm-hmm.
right? Or is there a way to end it with some sense of dignity and respect, both for the other and you, right? So I think that's the first thing you have to ask yourself. Is what I'm about to do and how I'm about to do it, is it honoring and respectful?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's where it gets messy because we just try to end things and it's kind of like landing a plane. We just go, we just got to get this down.
Mm.
Right. So we crash and burn and we go, at least it's out of the sky, you know, like at least it's down. But it ends up destroying so many things.
Yeah.
And so I will say one thing first, Heidi, is aside from just being respectful, as Christians, I think, Heidi, we have to remember that we are still a witness even in our farewells.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So just like you're a witness, like for instance, let's do work. Just like you're a witness in how you work, the integrity, the character, the output, right? How you serve God at work. It's the same way. Like as a Christian, you wouldn't lie on your resume to get hired, right? You would do it right. You would do it honorably, okay? So it is with you leaving.
Mm.
When you leave, you would do it in a way that's honorable. Mm. And you would check that list relationally, corporately, you know, policy-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing it right so that there's less damage, but most importantly, there's honor and there's gratitude.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking about how, like, in order to do that, you kind of have to, like, acknowledge the fact that you are a valuable part of the team, a valuable part of the relationship. And I think, like, I don't know if that's worth saying, but at least for me, I think I've hurt people or hurt relationships because I just didn't think that they would care if I just like dropped the relationship, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of learning how to honor someone else is also kind of learning how to honor yourself.
Yeah, you're acknowledging that you matter too.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm hearing from you is like maybe more like the easier one to think about in the light of what you're saying is like, say, church membership.
Mm-hmm.
You're leaving, say, your home group.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people do the Irish goodbyes. They just disappear. And then what's really funny is like the home group leader would email and they would get ghosted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the respectful thing to do for the home group and yourself?
Yeah.
And I think the respectful thing is, hey guys, loved you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Loved hanging out. Loved doing life together. But I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And I just want to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And that way there's clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I think one big thing we have to talk about is, are you honest and are you clear?
Mm.
Right? And because when you're not honest and when you're not clear, that's when there's room for hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, on both sides.
Yeah. You know, when you were saying that, it made me realize like how much courage it requires in order to be clear with your communication.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think some of us don't want to be clear because we don't want to have, we want to have like one foot in, like maybe, you know, like the opportunity to come back or, you know, like if we were to say goodbye, we would have to be clear in our convictions that we were ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, like I think about like a relationship that I had where I knew it wasn't right, but I was like, I'm so scared to be alone. Like, I don't want to leave this relationship, but I do want to leave this relationship, but I'm afraid.
I also don't want to be alone.
I'm afraid of what's going to happen on the other side of this. And so.
So I think, when you cut it off, what, did you make it kind of like.
Like, ooh.
Like grayish?
Did I? I mean, I did a lot of things. Uh-huh. We don't have to get into
how
here,
many
but.
Did you really cut
wow.
off? Wow. This is just about something else now.
Maybe by the end of this podcast, we should talk about. Your breakup, PB.
Like, I don't like how breakups. You said one breakup. Like it's one, your breakup. I have many breakups, okay?
How many
I have dumped so many girls in my mind.
But all right. I think a lot of how we're processing this is a lot of the goodbyes requires like it requires taking responsibility for yourself.
Yes, yes.
It requires a lot of examination of yourself.
Yes. Yeah, like I noticed, like, you know, I'm trying to think of some healthy goodbyes. I think owning your part is important.
Yeah.
And then also being clear about unmet needs and desires is important. What I mean by that is, like, again, I'm in the world of churches. And as all of you guys know, people come and people go.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I found that a lot of people, when they leave relationships or organizations or churches, it's almost 100% someone else's fault.
Mm.
And it's so interesting that that it's either that or it's 100% because God told them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
God told me to leave.
The God card.
God called me to go over there. You're like, oh, okay. Well, God's not here anymore.
God
like,
call
yeah.
you here.
And didn't God call you here? Or the worst is when you're in dating and they say that.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
God told me that we're not supposed to be together. Yeah. And so what do you say to that?
Yeah.
Like, well, the devil told me that we're supposed to be together, right? So we should listen to the devil.
I heard else.
Like, yeah. It's like when you pull the God card out, it's not only blame shifting, but it's also responsibility shifting.
And it's kind of a cop out.
It's a cop out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a
I'd rather have someone say, I just don't like it here.
Or I just don't like you anymore.
Yeah. I had one guy who came up to me a long time ago. People don't know this, but right after I preached one Sunday, he came up and said, PB, I'm leaving the church.
Mm.
And I said, oh, yeah. Why?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me straight up, he said, oh, some of the things that are believed here, I don't believe.
Mm.
And in this case, he didn't believe in female leadership.
Oh, snaps.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there.
Are we going to fight it? I'm just
kidding. And he straight up said to me.
Oh.
And it's so funny because he said, I'll never forget it. He said, I need a more biblical church.
Ooh.
What he meant by that was, I need a church that believes in male leadership alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I grew up. And he said this. This is how I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I was taught. And I believe that's what's biblical.
Mm.
I didn't sit there and try to convince him. I didn't sit there and try to argue. I actually appreciated it because I was like, oh.
That's true.
And so I told him, this is what I said. Hey, God bless you. I hope you find a good church. I can even help you find a good church. Right? And there was no animosity.
Yeah.
He was saying, you and this church, you are so clear on your stances
mm-hmm.
when it comes to this stuff. And I am too.
Yeah.
And so we're not equally yoked is what he's saying. And so respectfully, he's like, as much as I want to stay, I don't want to participate.
Yeah.
And I said, man, God bless you. Thank you for telling me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told him, and you're right. We're never going to change the stance.
Yeah.
I told him that. Yeah. And I said, we honestly believe God ordains men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And so because as much as you think it's a wrong interpretation, we'll just be wrong then in your eyes. But we live in America. There's so many churches you can go to.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that was actually a goodbye, a good goodbye.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's others that just like the ones I don't like is the two-faced ones. Like, oh, I love it here. I love it here. And then you hear from the grapevine all these problems that they supposedly had.
Mm.
I don't think that's honest. And I think that sows division.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think even with like boyfriends or girlfriends or whoever, you should just be honest. Like, I don't like you. Like, and I don't like this about you. And I can't get myself to tolerate it.
Mm.
Because as some relationship experts say, real relationships start past the honeymoon when you can decipher how much of the other person's madness you can tolerate. That's a relationship. Yeah. Because at some point, you get to the reality of their madness.
Yeah.
Right? And so, like, I bet you when you were dating Daniel in the beginning, it was like, oh my God, I found the man of my dream.
Uh-huh.
And then there comes a point where you go, oh my God, you're freaking mad. You are a madness person, right?
Yeah.
And then you decide, are you worth still giving myself to, despite the madnesses I'm feeling from you?
Mm-hmm.
Am I able to tolerate it?
Yeah.
And am I willing to endure it?
Yeah.
Where people go wrong, in the beginning at least, Heidi, is when they say, I might be able to change it.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
No, you're not going to change anybody's madness.
Mm-hmm.
Only God can change hearts and lives.
Yeah.
And so if you inside your heart say, I'm still going to commit, this field is worth buying for that treasure, which is Him.
Wow.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So love is like that. The kingdom of God is like that, right?
Yeah.
Jesus said, a man found the field with a treasure in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he bought the whole field.
Mm.
But if you think about that, that story that Jesus told, it's a story of love, Heidi, because the field, there was nothing valuable about that field except for that one treasure in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is you buy the lot at the chance at
for
that thing,
treasure.
That treasure.
Yeah.
And so in many ways, commitment to churches, to people, to loved ones, and to spouses, we're taking on the whole lot and saying, I'll take all this dirt because you are worth it.
Yeah.
And that's the commitment.
Mm.
But in the beginning, we don't see the dirt. We just see that shiny treasure in the middle of the field, you know?
We're operating under the sense of like everyone's in a healthy relationship. Like abuse is not, you know, questioned.
Yes, yes,
all this
yes.
stuff. So I guess I wanted to put that caveat in there.
That's
but.
Good.
You know, when
or if
you,
churches are like funky.
Funky, yeah.
Yeah. And the fruit is very obvious that it's funky. Get the heck out, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder, like, you know, in this gamut of conversation we're doing, we're talking about like how to end well. And a lot of it is personal.
Mm-hmm.
So like what other questions would you ask yourself? Because we started with like, you know, asking yourself why. Like why are you having this itch to leave? Why are you having, you know, like wandering eyes or wandering heart, wondering like, is this the person or the place that I'm supposed to be right now?
Mm, yeah. You mean with like churches or with places?
Just anything, yeah. Like let's say, I don't know, like we have someone here and she's like, you know, I'm kind of thinking about
leaving. Yeah.
Yeah. What questions would you ask her and how would you invite her into that process?
Well, obviously a lot of people don't talk to me about leaving because they, I think they're probably afraid to, or, you know, like it's awkward, you know, calling the pastor and saying, hey, I'm leaving. You know?
Yeah.
But if I got a chance to talk to them, I would ask, do you see Christ here?
Mm.
That's the real question. Do you see Jesus? Do you sense Jesus here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you do not, you got to get the heck out.
Mm.
Right? There is no compromise in that.
Yeah.
The Christ Church must have Jesus as the center.
Mm.
Okay. Then that person says, okay, yeah, I sense Christ at Echo, sure. Then you go, okay, so what's the problem?
Mm.
What's the real problem then? And I have, over the years, Heidi, I've boiled it down to a few, okay? Most people leave not because they don't sense Christ or they don't sense that we're trying our best to serve God or whatever. Mm-hmm. Most of it is relational, okay? I think the biggest reason people leave, and we can even look this up, is it's probably because they haven't found friends. or there's conflict within the friends here. And it's so funny because I don't know how many people that when I found out that they left, they cite like all sorts of spiritual reasons or doctrinal reasons or I don't know, church practices reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you hear the real story, eventually the real story comes out and it's that I broke up with someone or this is a popular one, like several of my friends like the same girl. And then, yeah, no, I'm serious. And then and then one of them went out and so we all just left. I mean, it's so common. Or I got offended. Yeah, or here's a big one with married couples. It's like we're tired and we don't have any friends because it's so hard to get together with people because we just had babies. And so there's a life stage issue too because it's more comfortable not to go, not to commit to things. And then there's, I've had many older parent couples that are like, I transferred into this church.
Mm.
And so my friends are outside of this church, right? And to cultivate new ones is too exhausting.
Mm.
Or another one is this church demands too much.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? So there are real reasons. And for many of them, it's good reasons to leave.
Yeah.
So I think being honest about that is the first thing. And then owning it. And then just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't owe anybody really an apology for wanting to go.
Yeah.
And also, you shouldn't stay out of just sheer obligation. You should try to be a person of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like if you've ever, like say you were dating and then your boyfriend's like, honestly, I stayed because I wanted to be committed. But I don't really like you.
You
will be so offended.
Yeah.
Right? And so the Church of Jesus deserves people who want to be there.
Yeah.
And who want to make it better.
Yeah.
Want to make the most of it.
Yeah. You know, as you were listing all the reasons, it kind of reminded me of like, you know, what we learn in orthopraxis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why our membership is so long. It's like, do you really want to be part of this church?
Yes.
This is what we believe church to be. This is what we hope this church would be. And this is what we value. Mm-hmm. So like, are you in or not?
Yeah,
and
that's why orthopraxis is so long, Heidi.
Yeah.
People complain about how long it takes to be a member here and also be serving. But you know, all the studies show that if you date longer before marriage, your marriage actually gets stronger.
Mm-hmm.
It's stronger. There's more chances for it to survive.
Yeah.
And so we took that same model with church membership.
Yeah.
We said people should date the church.
Mm-hmm.
Really get to know her. And then figure out, even with this particular church's madness.
Mm-hmm.
Am I willing to see it as a church? Yeah. And tolerate it. Seriously.
Yeah.
And I think 1 year is not that long.
It's not. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Most people commit to churches within a month.
Mm.
They're like, oh, I found my church. You go, how long have you been there? A couple of times. I love it. Right? And I've had that people with us too. Like people will attend Echo. This is pre-COVID. They'll come up to me and go, PB, Pastor Brian, my name is so-and-so. I think I found my church.
It's like infatuation.
Yeah, Echo's my church. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, and they're like, how do I get involved? Oh, well, the best way first is to go through our discipleship program. How long is that? It's about 6 months or so, and then another 6 months of like serving and stuff. And then you might be able to become a member. And then they're like, what? What are you talking about? Because not only do you deserve to know if this is a church you want to commit to, the church deserves to know if it can count on you.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think we people think we're slow, but I think we're actually…
in the grand scheme of things.
The real question is not have you found your church, but have you found the church community you want to build life with?
Yeah.
That's the real question.
Yeah.
Right? And so then that takes time.
Mm-hmm.
That just takes time.
Yeah. And especially with the age of a lot of our church members, including myself, we're kind of at that age where it's almost expected to go and like explore. And it's rare to find people who decide to place their roots down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think taking it slow is really important. And I think it reminds me of how like engaged couples also are kind of racing to the altar.
Mm.
And in the hoopla of planning for a wedding, it often gets like lost on them of what the day is.
Yep.
And like, you know, I love that at Echo we have like a pre-engagement / engagement counseling mm-hmm. to kind of hash out these things. And so in the conversation of like how to end well, it kind of goes back to the beginning of like, how do you start things? How do you start well?
Get
into a commitment well? And then how do you know, like, you know, are you really going to be committed to this through thick and thin? So yeah, it's just interesting how this like kind of evolves and it goes back and it goes back to like, what do you value? And you kind of have to know for yourself what you value, what you want. And it's not to say like, well, you have to stick it out, like regardless. It's like, well, do you really see yourself planting roots here? And if you don't, like, let's help you find something else.
Yeah.
And we bless you. And, you know, and that's in regards to the church, but also in regards to relationship.
I just think all of our analogies here, it kind of crosses over.
Yeah.
You can apply what we're talking about with the church to people.
And,
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that comes to mind as you're talking, and I think we talked about, it's funny because you know how we're trying to talk about how to say goodbye well, but we can't help but talk about the beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think this also brings up the fact of how important the middle is.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is like, I don't know about you, but how many people have you talked to that you're like… You know, they know and you know that they should break up, but they don't because of how the middle was spent.
Mm.
Meaning like, I didn't give it my best. Mm. So I don't know if I should break up. Or we live together.
Yeah.
And we you know, got physical and had sex all the time or whatever. And now I feel guilty for leaving him or her or like, you know.
Like we're in too deep.
Yeah, we're in too deep. Yeah. Or I mean, the most obvious, horrifying one is like, I got her pregnant and now I don't want to break up. You know what I mean? But I don't want to be with her.
Yeah.
Like, so there's that extreme all the way to like things like when we were dating, I don't know if I was good to her.
Mm.
I don't know if I gave my best. Or so what I'm saying is we're often, our goodbyes are shaped by or influenced by our life in the middle.
Mm.
How we spent it with that person or that organization.
Yeah.
And so, and I say this because when I think about people who left our church well, almost all of them, Heidi, they have spent the middle well.
Mm.
What I mean by that is like people who have left our church with dignity, with their head up, but also loving and respecting the community that they leave behind, I can't help but think, all of them, if I think about all of those people right now, they have been such good members.
Mm.
So their departure is usually of something of meaning.
Yeah.
Meaning like, you guys know that I've been pursuing X, Y, and Z and I got this opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaving, guys.
And it's almost like a send-off.
It's a send-off. Usually it's a send-off or a good goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
And the church can celebrate it and go.
Yeah.
Right? Even relationships that end and it's sad. I've seen some that end, but they end amicably.
Mm.
They end with like, man, we were good.
Yeah.
We had a good time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's time to go. We really realize that we're not fit for each other.
Yeah.
You know? Or we're going on different trajectories.
Mm-hmm.
So this bittersweet in that sense. But at least it's somewhat sweet, as in like, this is meaningful for us that we separate.
Yeah, because
it aligns with the narrative of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, that time together was of witness, as in like, we can confidently look back at that time and say, I gave my best.
Mm.
Does this make sense?
For
like, so what personally, what I don't want, like at least for myself, Heidi, is like, if somebody ever like leaves, I ask myself, was I a good pastor to this church at that time? obviously it's not, was I a good pastor to that person? Because I can't pastor every person mm-hmm. in that intimate way, right? Because some people leave because of that. I didn't get enough time with you. Mm. Oh, okay, well, you're not going to get it.
I have four kids.
Yeah, but that's the thing we should be able to do. So I think before asking yourself, should I leave? Mm. I think the good question is, how am I while I'm here? Mm. And so I think a lot of the middle is important. You know, I think of, if I can just share one more, Heidi, I think of this divorce story. And this one's not from our church, but there's this divorce story where the husband and wife both knew that they needed to end it, okay? I don't know how volatile it was, but they arrived at wanting to say goodbye respectfully. Mm-hmm. But their biggest concern was their child. Because they knew the way they said goodbye to each other would affect this child.
Yeah.
Okay? And then they also knew they it would affect this child's position in their community, meaning this child will feel embarrassed. This child will feel now like I'm a child of a divorced, you know, couple. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. So talking with the child and talking with their pastor and their church, they decided to have a goodbye ceremony.
Wow!
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Now, I say this as to make a point. I'm not saying that everyone that's divorcing should do this because it could turn out really ugly. But what I'm saying is it's a testament to probably how they related in the middle.
Yeah.
That they are able to even end it well. Mm-hmm. Because the pastor came and a small collection of people in the church that knew them well came. Mm. And they prayed and ended the relationship.
Wow.
And then in front of, then the whole church surrounded all the friends in that church and the pastor surrounded the kid, and they all committed to be with the kid.
Yeah.
Right? That you're not going to walk alone.
Wow.
And then they committed to each of the couple, each of the person in the couple. When I heard that, I was so moved because what the church was saying was, in the beginning we're here, in the middle we're here, and we're also here when it ends.
Yeah.
Right? And the relationship in this couple must have been so respectful that they were able to take it to that kind of ending.
Yeah.
So I think...
And invite people in.
So I think instead of maybe like looking up, like Googling how to break up well, it has to do more with integrity.
Yeah.
How should I live now?
Yeah.
So that if I was to say goodbye, it wouldn't be so, such a painful thing.
Conversation has just reminded me how like anything valuable is so worth like the intentional living that happens, whether it's beginning through it and how it ends. And I keep going back to this thought that you had at the beginning when you said it requires examination, it requires examine. And it just goes back to that. It sounds so simple, but it's like, are you abiding with God and asking him for his input, you know? And, you know, of course, we kind of talked about the God card and stuff. And ultimately, you know, God provides opportunities and he also closes opportunities too. But ultimately, we make our own choices. And when it comes to starting a relationship, when it comes to ending a relationship, whether that's with a covenant community or with a covenant partner or with like another relational partner, a lot of it is your choice.
It is.
And it's learning how to exercise your voice. It's learning how to exercise like what you value, learning about that. And so, yeah, it all kind of goes back to that. Like, are you examining yourself?
Yeah, I have young men who ask me all the time, Heidi, how do I know she's the one? And I'm like, oh, what do you mean? How do I know if God is ordaining this? Mm. And I tell them, you know what I tell them? I go, I don't know. That's what I tell them. I go, I don't know how. I don't know.
Yeah.
What I do know is you should make a choice.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, yes, it's very spiritually romantic, the story of God told me to, you know, God told me you were the one. And then usually it doesn't happen. But what if she said, God told me you're the one too? And it's just like beautiful story. But honestly, I'd rather like, if my daughter comes home someday and says, this guy asked me out and he said that God told him, I would say, stay the heck away from this guy. Right? I want her to bring home a man that says, I want to be with your daughter.
Yeah.
I want to take care of her.
Yeah.
I want to do my best, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, whatever. I picked that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that guy's taking responsibility.
And he has the courage to say that.
Yeah.
I want that.
I want you.
Yeah.
And then I also have the courage to say, I don't like this. I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and then leave.
Yeah.
But stop putting, I mean, God is so like, he must be so frustrated. Like, stop involving me.
Triangulated.
Yeah, stop triangulating me into everything.
Yeah.
I will say though, this is a side note though, Heidi, and this is for the younger people, I guess. But my wife and I always say like, we just can't help but notice that like, and this, okay, I'm just speaking for myself. I think sometimes girls can be won over.
Mm.
Like I've heard many stories, like as I, you know how like I married like 1,000 people already in our church. Like many of their stories is like, I didn't like him.
Yeah.
And I wasn't at all attracted, but eventually he won me over.
That tree.
I have never in all my years ever heard a guy say that.
Mm.
I've never, she grew on me. Guys usually know right away.
Huh. I wonder what that is.
It's called She's Superfly. Okay. Now, okay, I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh.
Part of it is that. But part of it is for some reason, men, we just, I think, know.
Mm.
Like, I think I like her. And then we fill in the details later. Uh-huh. And then we go, I think I can tolerate this. Like, I'm just saying this because I'm no expert, but I've had enough meetings with couples where usually the story is he's waiting for her to catch up to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to say,
mm-hmm.
usually there's one in the relationship that's quicker to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's kind of like that in life. Like there's some of you listening that you just know when you go somewhere, you're like, that's the church for me.
Yeah.
That's the person. That's my friend. Like, you just know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some of us that are like, I need time. I need to see if this place could win me over, capture my heart, and you know, and vice versa. So just know the type of person you are.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know?
Yeah. And I think ultimately, too, it's like, are you a person who lives by your convictions? Because I remember, I mean, you talked about this earlier about that guy who's like, I don't believe women should be in leadership. It's like, okay, you're a guy of conviction.
That's
and this is not the church community for you. And like, man, we bless you. We hope you find a good community to be a part of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, like, you know, pastors are always like, they're really proud of maybe their church growth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm actually really proud of the departures. And here's what I mean by that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a lot of it, I'm sure many were not good goodbyes, but I like to think this. When people leave and they complain about Echo or they have issues, that to me just shows how defined our church is, how much it knows itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you linger you don't know why you want to stay or why you want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know the church is not defined.
Mm.
So to me, it's not just about, you know, the church is successful because it grows.
Yeah.
The church is also mature or successful because people come and know right away that this is not the place for them or this is.
Yeah.
And so I just know that that's actually a good sign.
Yeah.
So go, wherever you go, company, like even when you get interviewed, don't you ask all these questions?
Yeah.
Right? Because you want to know what kind of company this is.
Yeah.
And it's their defined sense of self that attracts you or dissuades you, right? And so I think that's another thing to think about is the communities you go and look at, the people you date, are they well-defined?
Yeah.
Or are they going to discover themselves at your expense.
Yeah. Or I think in addition to that, like, why are you seeking after this person, or why are you seeking after this this company or community? Because you notice that, like, once that need or that longing is fulfilled, I feel like that's when pieces start to, like, settle into place, and you're like, oh, wait, this person, like, I'm not necessarily lonely anymore, or I don't feel lonely necessarily in this community anymore, but I don't know if I align with it, you know?
Oh, you mean like you should make decisions when you're also sure of yourself?
Yeah, when you're sure of, like, you know, I meet a lot of, like, you know, single women, and some of them are like, you could tell they're like, I just really want to be married. And then some women are like, you know, I'm happy in my singlehood and figuring out who I am. And both of those people, when they find themselves in relationships, you can tell, like, why they got into a relationship based on the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, oh, I actually know who I am. So I started this relationship knowing who this other person is, and knowing that I'm willing to make a compromise for this person, versus the one who was like, I just really want to get married. And then they get that and they're like, this is not going to fulfill the longing that I was
looking for. Wow, that's interesting, because that reminds me of how the statistics of divorce for couples who married young are really high. And they say the longer you wait till you get married is actually a better chance for you to stay together. And I think it has to do with identity.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you marry when you're like 19, 20, 21… Mm-hmm. The chances of divorce are so high. And I think it's because you just don't know yourself yet.
Yeah.
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 What would you say to then, like, say, a Christian or someone who's looking for a church who doesn't know themselves that much, or is not mature maybe as a Christian, and they're like longing for a church? Because we're not going to say to that person, get mature and then come to church.
Yeah.
What would you say to that person?
Yeah. I mean, we hear the term church shopping a lot, but I feel like I am team church shopping. Like, give yourself like 4, 5, 6 months. Like, tell yourself, I'm not going to commit to a particular church community just yet, but I'm just going to check it out. Like, and be upfront about that, and see, like, oh, I like this part of this church community, but I really want this. I want this part, but I really like this, or I don't like this, or I don't align with that. And I think giving yourself, like, time, like a specific amount of time, would be really helpful. Because ultimately, you don't want to be in that limbo, because there's never going to be a church community that, like, checks all your boxes.
No way. No way. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that's what I would tell someone. When I was actually in Pennsylvania, when Daniel got into med school, and I was a member at Echo, and I knew ultimately we wanted to come back. But we were out in Pennsylvania, and I was like, you know, we're here. We need to place our roots here, even if it's for a short amount of time. And I remember, like, feeling this sense of, like, man, God, like, where should we go? And I remember talking to Daniel and being like, let's give ourselves 3 months to just check out all the churches and not, like, commit to any of them just yet. I think going in with that mindset, granted, it was helpful because we knew we had a church community back in California that we wanted to come back to. So maybe that sentiment is a little bit different. But I think recognizing, like, the season that you're in is really important, and giving yourself parameters for that is really important as well.
I like that. And I think also it's okay to go to church and not know for sure.
Yeah.
Just go. And it's also like, it's kind of like, I liken it to, like, you know how people, when they go to university, they change their major. But honestly, you change your major because the major that you thought you liked, you found out you didn't.
Yeah.
And so often God uses church to help you find the church for you. Like, I don't know how many mentors that I've been under where, because I've been under them, I begin to find out what I like, what I don't like, what I believe in ministry and what I don't. But they're still my mentors.
Yeah.
But they help me have a mirror. They help me have a dialogue. But that's how you grow.
Yeah.
Right? You don't always get what you always wanted in a steady stream.
Yeah.
You get also what you go, oh, I don't like that. But I wouldn't have known that I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes you go to church, you should give your best. And as you're serving, giving your best, or even in relationships,
mm-hmm.
you begin to discover, oh, I don't know if I believe that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm part of that. And you start discovering yourself. And then I think that's still okay.
Yeah. And I think part of maturing too is like sometimes it's realizing and defining who you are and who you mm-hmm. what you value. But it's also realizing that there's also nuances. Like you're not going to 100% align with everything, you know, that this particular community or this particular person is going to. But like, again, it goes back to like how much madness are you willing to tolerate or how much are you willing to compromise? Because there's also like, in a sense, maturity is also realizing that we come with our differences and we're not out to create like echo clones or, you know, it's like if you align 100%, then it's like, do you have your own thoughts?
Before, like, I don't know if we're going to close soon or not, but I do want to ask you a question. If you were to say to a young, you know, female member, like, she comes to you and says, I think I have to break up.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want to break up.
Mm-hmm.
If you were allowed only one thing to tell that person.
Oh my gosh.
On how to break up.
Uh-huh.
What would you say?
I just be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
I think sometimes the issue is we're so afraid of hurting the other person with like our words or with the real reason. So we kind of beat around the bush. But we don't give that person the honor of knowing exactly why.
Oh, that's good.
And so being honest is so crucial and it's so scary. But ultimately, it's like, it's the most loving thing to do. What's so unloving and kind of like a cowardly cop-out is when we beat around the bush and like to try to save their feelings, you know? What would you say?
I would say something that most people will not do, but I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
I would first say what you said, which is be honest about why.
Yeah.
And don't beat around the bush. But then ask, and then in turn, return and go, be honest, what was it like being with me?
Wow.
Because it should not just be educational for the person you're leaving.
Yeah.
It should be educational for you.
Yeah.
Because the goal is to grow from this,
not
just to separate, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would ask, examine questions like, what about our relationship gave you life?
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you feel it was life draining? And then what was it about me that was a gift to you?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it about me that was really hard for you?
That's right? Really beautiful.
No one else really knows as much as that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the reason we don't ask is we don't want to hear it. But what if they clearly articulated?
Yeah.
Then now, as you break up, if you're not petty,
yeah,
you can actually take that to the Lord and go, Lord, here I am again, another relationship that didn't work out,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to be a pattern, not only in the men I find or girls I find or women I find, it's also me.
Yeah,
you know, like I wish. Now I know people won't do this, but I wish they would ask the pastors as they leave. What was it like to pastor me?
Mm.
Not just because we all hear about what they don't like about the church.
Yeah.
But if they're truly in it for growth.
Yeah.
There is nobody better than the boss you're leaving.
Yeah.
Right? The manager you're leaving. The boyfriend or girlfriend you're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
The pastors you're leaving behind or the church. To ask them for honest feedback.
Yeah.
And to grow in self-awareness.
Dang.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the beautiful gift of a breakup.
Yeah.
Is that you can actually grow from it.
I love breakups, actually.
Oh, wow.
I do. I think you bring up a really good point. Because breakups are the prime… like one of the few moments in a person's life where you grow so much because it's so painful and you are forced to look at yourself and look at.
Yeah, I love breakups because I get so artistic after. I flow in poems and like all my artwork is so deep.
So with that said, can you tell us the breakup story?
No way. There's too many.
Can you tell us the story my about how kids, PM broke up with you?
Stop it. Don't ever bring that up. My kids know about that story and they bring it up all the time.
It's so good.
They're like, Dad, I can't believe Mom broke up with you. And then she really felt like she needed to come back. And Dad, how did it feel to be dumped by Mom?
But I mean, it's such a good story because it kind of, it holds both, right? Like you guys had the breakup, but then you guys have this beautiful, thriving marriage.
And
you know?
You know what's funny is with Michelle, when I said, when we said our goodbyes, mm-hmm. you know about the advice I just gave about like ask for feedback?
Yeah.
Michelle gave it to me without me asking. She told me exactly what it was like to be with me. She told me everything about why I didn't qualify.
Man.
And so it was highly educational for me. and then God brought people into my life who helped me grow in those areas. And so I think there's not that many you're gifted with in life that see you for both who you are and also things that you want to hide about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's great too. Like even like professors maybe you're close to or that know you, like what was it like teaching me?
Yeah.
Or for some of you that have that are in sports, I mean, goodness gracious, what was it like coaching me?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I just think that's just an invaluable lesson that you can't get really anywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But we're not gonna talk about Michelle dumping me. What are you talking about, man?
It's such a good story.
What's your problem, man?
So everyone listening, can you pull PB aside on a Sunday and just ask him?
No, everybody knows I talk about it all the time. Let's talk about how many girlfriends I had and how many heartbreaks there are out there.
Okay. That'll be like 2 minutes.
There's a sea of hearts broken. There's all the poetry and art that's flowing in this world are coming from my breakups. Okay?
All right.
My goodness.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed listening.
Don't you dare let me bring up your thing. You know,
thank you for listening,
how many
everyone.
People,
we
all
just
right.
enjoyed this
so
talk.
Many, so many
we
guys from San Diego come to our church.
We hope that you
and
guys
say,
enjoyed
hey,
listening
do you know
to
a Heidi
this conversation.
Hey, what? How do you know Heidi? Oh, she broke my heart.
Okay.
My goodness, I can't believe you. You don't know how many stories I have. Jeez.
Well, we're so glad you guys tuned in. And man, we hope that you guys gleaned something from this.
I think the first time I met
mess.
You was when you guys were, when you were going through a breakup with another guy.
Oh my God.
I mean, how many boys, man? Come on now.
I did come to Echo through a boy.
Yes.
But I stayed because of the Lord.
Damn. That's so gross.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys on the flip side. We hope you guys enjoyed listening to this. And
hey, guys. So be gentle and break them hearts gently.
Wow. Yeah.